As the COVID-19 pandemic continues, equity has taken on new meaning for some Central Illinois school superintendents.
You know, analyzing our kids who are struggling, ensuring that, you know, they have some additional support, they're getting extra support.
That's Peoria Public Schools Superintendent Sharon Demoulin-Karat. I'm Daniel Musisi, and this is WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio.
Support for WCBU's On Deck comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WCBU.org.
Today is Thursday, February 4th, and this is WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio. The third Peoria City Council District candidates recently participated in a forum hosted by the Peoria NAACP. Tim Shelley rounds up their takes on police reform needs in the River City.
All three candidates running to represent the third council district say they're supportive of taking a look at different ways to improve processes. Former council member and current Illinois Central College trustee Gail Thetford says systemic racism plays in Peoria, and changes to address it need to start from the top.
I would certainly be supportive of a city study as to how best to train our police officers with respect to bias, how to better recruit, train, hire, what have you, qualified minority applicants.
Incumbent Councilman Tim Riggenbach says expanding upon initiatives like the Residential Officer Program is a good way to address issues like implicit bias and start conversations.
I think the concept of community policing is something that has shown promise in Peoria and needs to be embraced.
He also lauded the recently formed Joint Committee on Racial Justice and Equity. Candidate Lawrence Michard says the most important reform he'd implement is a residency requirement.
We need to get the police in the underserved neighborhoods out of their cars. We need to get them walking around the neighborhoods. That is going to engender a lot of goodwill and warmth and affinity for the police.
The top two vote-getters in the February primary will appear on April's general election ballot. The primary is February 23rd. I'm Tim Shelley.
Here's some more stories on deck in the WCBU newsroom. Peoria County has topped 35,000 administered doses of the COVID-19 vaccine. That's according to updated information from the Illinois Department of Public Health. Figures from the IDPH's online database show more than 56,000 doses administered in the Tri-County area, with more than 7,500 residents fully vaccinated. Tri-County health officials reported 153 new COVID cases Wednesday and three more fatalities linked to the coronavirus. And a coronavirus mutation detected last week by Pekin's Reditus Labs is not quite identical to one from the United Kingdom. Reditus CEO Dr. Aaron Rossi says a study by the University of Arizona suggests the mutation is actually a variant of the UK variant. Find more on these stories and others at WCBU.org. An education bill with wide-ranging provisions is drawing mixed reaction from Central Illinois school superintendents. The governor has yet to sign it, but says he will. Some say the bill would be challenging to implement. Others say it will address longstanding inequities. Christine Hatfield reports.
The sweeping bill passed the General Assembly in the final days of the January lame duck session. It ranges from requirements for early intervention services for children who haven't started preschool, all the way up to initiatives targeting the teacher shortage. Peoria Public Schools Superintendent Sharon Demoulin-Karat says it's all about equity.
As a district with a high percentage of low-income kids, ELL kids, children of color, African-American children, it really speaks to us.
Karat says equity has become more important than ever amid the COVID-19 pandemic.
Right now, a big thing for us is, you know, analyzing our kids who are struggling and ensuring that, you know, they have some additional support, they're getting extra support.
Karat says the proposal for a whole child task force particularly intrigues her. That is supposed to help create a supportive environment for children in schools across the state. Karat says schools need to have measures in place to address child trauma.
Those things impact kids, whether it's homelessness, depression, incarceration, death. I mean, and the list goes, abuse, all sorts of abuse. that goes on and on and on.
Another part of the bill would align primary and secondary school education standards with those of Illinois public universities. High schools would have to teach 2 years of a foreign language and more laboratory science and computer science for graduation. Barry Riley, the superintendent of School District 87 in Bloomington, says those provisions are ambitious.
I don't think anyone would disagree, especially when you think about the curriculum and the assessments that they put in there, that's not good for kids. I think they are.
Districts have several years to implement the new standards. The foreign language high school graduation requirement, for example, would take in the 2028 to 2029 school year, but Riley says that's still not enough time.
That's really going to be a challenging thing for many districts to accomplish, just because there's not enough teachers out there. And I just don't see that we're going to be able to overcome that.
Even if districts can find foreign language teachers, Riley says paying for them is a question.
There definitely will be some costs for, if not necessarily my district, for other school districts across the state.
The measure may not be the last word, though. Kristen Weichel is the superintendent of Unit 5 schools in Normal. Educators had little input before the speedy passage of the bill. Weichel says she wouldn't be surprised if lawmakers take another look at the package.
I think they're open to talking with school districts to see, like, what are their needs and what would be potential obstacles.
Even if that happens, Weichel says questions about money remain.
Anytime you add additional requirements to school districts, that can be viewed as an unfunded mandate.
It's not just Weichel. There is some grumbling by educators across the state that the provisions that increase costs don't have a clear revenue stream to offset them when state budget deficits make the possibility of more school support unlikely. I'm Christine Hatfield.
Educators say they have questions about what curriculum changes the bill really requires and how much they can satisfy with existing policy. You can read full coverage of the story at WCBU.org. Thanks for choosing WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio. I'm Daniel Musisi. Radio Faces 2021. Now take a moment and really think about it. Do you really want to miss your opportunity to meet and quiz NPR's Aisha Roscoe and Scott Detrow about their time asking questions of the Trump White House and now the beginnings of the Biden administration? No, you don't. So get your ticket. All you need is one per household. They're available now at WCBU.org.